Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett and I got Kyle with me today, and we get a chance to grill Kyle a little bit on his most recent sermon. So Kyle, how was it doing multi-gen this time?
You know what? I haven't done one of those for a while, so it was, what's the word? Challenging. It was good. I mean, leading up to it, I knew I needed to keep the kids engaged, so I had to do things directed toward them. I think I went to the well a little bit too much because a few times I'm like, kids, and there's nothing there. So I'm like, okay, I got to maybe balance that. But but there was some good interaction from the kids, so I was appreciative of that. It was all right. That's right. I saw that there's some room to grow for those kids to like engage a little bit better in that that space. But I know our church is unique with that kind of stuff, so I'm glad we still do that.
I thought you did a good job. Those ones are definitely more tricky than you assume or think that they are, right? When you're experiencing it, you think, oh, they're just, but the prep behind, you're kind of like, how do I approach this?
Yeah, for sure.
So this past Sunday was a multi-gen service, and we had all the kids in, and we were continuing our series for multi-gen on the fruit of the Spirit. And this week's characteristic that Kyle touched on is God's goodness. And so I thought today we'd have a good discussion about God's goodness.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yes, pun intended. But I think one of the things that's cool to me is just how some of the things that we've been working on with the children's ministry, namely our kids' declaration, has really tied into the past couple weeks, right? With Brett sharing about it in his sermon, and then now that Kyle was speaking on goodness and that being the first part of our kids' declaration, I just thought it was pretty cool just how God tied everything together and the timing of it, that's what we've been talking about with the kids, and then he's able to bring another aspect of it during the multi-gen service.
Yeah, I think for me, as I was digging into it, I hadn't really thought of that actual characteristic of God that much. So I think goodness, I think of, yeah, like good, it's the stuff you want, the warm fuzzy type of aspect of it. And then as I was diving into it a little bit more, I thought, oh, there's this other part where, and I think the kids could relate to it, is that there's this part where it's not always what you want, it's what you need. So God's goodness is sometimes giving us what we need, even though it could be even painful, or I wouldn't say hurtful, like in a negative way, but it could hurt in the sense of it's just not fun. But I think that's part of his goodness, because he doesn't want us to stay in bad situations, and he doesn't want us to stay directed to places that he knows we shouldn't be going.
Yeah, even though you had it directed, for both the adults and the kids, but even with the kids' declaration focusing on God's goodness, it's made me take a step back and have to take a deep breath, because it's something that we know, but what does that actually look like? And so, yeah, I'm in the midst of figuring out what that looks like.
Yeah, I have a friend who I've known since high school and who sometimes also listens to this podcast, so they might be listening, but in high school, we would talk about food and what kind of food we like. And so this person would say, if I like it, then it's good for my heart. If I don't like it, then it's not good for my heart, right? So I think that's what happens a lot of times when we think of goodness, right? It's we associate it with something is good if I like it, or it's good if it's good for me. But kind of like Kyle was saying, we need to shift our paradigm and associate, look at it from God's perspective and not just from our own personal subjective perspective.
Yeah, and one thing I mentioned but I didn't go deep with was the things that can affect whether we believe something's good or not, which are like our circumstances, our feelings, our thoughts, like of understanding who God is. So all those different types of things can filter or be a lens that we see things through, and it's like, oh no, that's not good because it doesn't make me feel good, or that's not good because of my circumstances. It would be much better if I would consider that good, then these things would change. So I think that's something I didn't want to go too deep, because I didn't want to go too much over the kids' heads, but I wanted to mention it. And then I've experienced it. There's times where I'm like, I know, like you said, Brett, I know it in my head that something is true. So I know that God is good, but it just doesn't feel like it right now, or it doesn't, my circumstances don't line up with it. So what am I missing?
Yeah. The idea that God is good, I think, is something that people, or most Christians, I think, have a certain level of understanding. But then it's, how does his goodness play out in your life? Kind of like, are we dictating what his goodness is, or are we open to like what actually his goodness might be? I know for me, you know, circumstances and seasons and what experience that's going on a lot of times is the thing that dictates whether things are good. I'll ask people, how are you and God doing right now? Right. And a lot of times it's like, we're okay. Or when they say they're good, it's because like they feel like they're on fire, or they see God's provision and how all these things are happening for them and things that they want and the desires of their heart, which is part of God's goodness. But when you're faced with adversity, or you feel confused or lost or not sure what's going on, mm-hmm. it's harder to claim or to feel like, oh yeah, it's good, mm-hmm. or I'm experiencing God's goodness. Mm-hmm. And so in that same vein, for myself personally, it's like, what are the things that I need to hold on to, or almost like have faith in, to trust that God's goodness is still like following me, or he's still providing good things for me, even if in my own mind it doesn't look or feel that way.
I do think that this is one characteristic that there, for a lot of us, there's a big disconnect between our head and our heart. Because I do think that when it comes to God's goodness, you know, a lot of us grew up with the chanting of God is good all the time, God is good. And mm-hmm. like we know it in our heads that God is good. But then when it comes to our experience, it's like that tells a different story to us, right? So I do think this is an area where we can grow in connecting our heart and our head so that our experience is in alignment with what we believe. I think one scenario that we could talk about is, right, Jesus' death on the cross, right? Because I think even in the moment, Peter and the disciples were like, what are you talking about? You're going to die. What are you talking about? You can't do that, because they didn't think that that was going to be good. But now we look at it from our perspective, and it's like, that's the most good thing that he did, right? Is that he came and he died on the cross for us, right? So just even taking a different perspective, it changes our experience of what goodness is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have a couple of different thoughts. Well, first, like the verse Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I think sometimes we can hear that verse and be like, I don't know if that's true, because right now I'm not going through something that's good. But it's not about everything, that God makes everything good. It's that he can work everything towards something that is good. Mm-hmm. So it might not be good in the moment. It might not feel good. And that doesn't, and it's, so that was my other part of my thought, was really God's sovereignty. Is that, yeah, God could make everything good, but he lets things occur. He steps in at certain times, and we don't know why he does sometimes and not others. And that's sometimes things that we just don't understand and we have to let go of. But we can't assume that God's going to step in at every moment and make everything good for us. Because mm-hmm. I think that's where we then get disappointed, or we lose hope and say, like, see, God doesn't care. He's not good. But we can know, if we take this other perspective, we can know that no matter what it is, no matter how bad and difficult, he can turn it into something that's good for me. Mm.
That's a thing I had to learn in my own experience growing up. And you kind of have to understand the distinction between, or not the distinction, but like we know that God is all powerful, right? We think, oh, he could do anything. He can do miracles. And so because of that, when bad things happen, we kind of also assign like responsibility to God, like, oh, how come he didn't prevent that? Or how could he let that happen? Or why, or sometimes even why did he do that if it's something bad? But understanding that, like, if sin happens, so I'm not just talking about even like an action that we do, but just if there's bad stuff that happens, mm-hmm. we can sometimes get caught up in saying, oh, like God did that. Mm-hmm. Which it then paints the picture that God is like bringing you suffering or putting you through whatever, or giving you a sickness or taking somebody away from you. And I think sometimes in those feelings, it might be justified or that perspective might feel real. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that if it's a part of sin or brokenness, then that's like the absence of God. So that wasn't from God. Mm-hmm. But that verse that you're talking about is even in that, even in the absence of God, even in the sin, even in the brokenness, God can still intervene or use that, mm-hmm. insert himself, and now, like you're saying, work that for good, redeem it, right? And so for myself and just in my own life, I used to view my life that way, mm-hmm. that I just had, like, I'd had no choice. It was hard. I didn't get to do how people saw me or what they thought about me, or even I felt like my abilities or whatever. It was like, oh, it's not like kind of like God's limiting me or God's putting this mm-hmm. on me or God's making me go through this. And, you know, at times there was a lot of frustration, and maybe people would say, I could see how you feel that way. But the truth of the matter is it wasn't God like quote unquote doing this to me, like, oh, he's been bad, so I'm going to put him in timeout type of thing, or mm-hmm. like, you know, mm-hmm. punish me. But, you know, the perseverance, the resiliency, the hope is God using all of that to grow me, shape me, character, I guess, and all of that good stuff that at sometimes feels like a consolation prize. But right. it's the other part of that verse too is, right, it's like it's for the people that love him, mm-hmm. that put their trust in him, mm-hmm. that put their hope in him. He can work those things for his good. And
that's a good point.
That's where I found myself, and like, yeah.
Well, I think that's a good point too, focusing on the second part too, because there's a responsibility on our part. It's mm-hmm. for us as we're walking out. He makes everything good, you know, for our good. If you're just, yeah, that's a whole nother story. But that, I think that's a good part to bring in. I thought you had something, Well, if it's while you were talking, Brett, it reminded me of what Pastor Barry mentioned in staff meeting just this week, when he was talking about Job and like how people need to see that and go through that or understand Job's process a little bit more, and even how his friends, you guys can help me fill this in a little bit, but it was something about their society then was, if something bad happened to you, it was because of sin. Like, you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. So every time that something bad happened, that was that way. But I can see it in our society too. Sometimes it's all this good stuff we attribute to God. God, thank you for this. Thank you. And it's, I think, an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude is good. Sometimes it's because we made good choices. So God, thank you for helping me to make a good choice. Mm-hmm. But we like to do it on that side. But then we also flip it the other way. Anything bad then... Well, it can go that way. Anything bad then is God as well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no, there's sin. There's good. God could have stepped in. Sure, he could have. But then there's these consequences of sinful nature that we have to navigate through. And then he can still step in and help with that.
Yeah. I mean, if you make a dumb decision,
yeah,
you're going to have to deal with dumb consequences. And that's not like God saying, oh, like, it's like, no, right. You did that.
Right, right. No, I think that's it's true, because I think we forget about the consequence side a lot of times in our society. It's like, oh, it's somebody else, or it's something. It's easy to blame something else.
Yeah.
And it's God's the one that we know is there all the time, and he's the one that could always step in. So he's an easy target when we get into that mode of not wanting to own up to our own faults.
Yeah, I've had a couple experiences where, you know, talking with my parents or something and my dad, and, you know, now that I'm older and kind of talk more on like almost like a peer level.
Yeah.
Certain times it's just like, Brett, that was not a smart decision. Just like straight up. Or sometimes you'll tell me, yeah, I made a dumb choice, right? And so then you understand that it's not like, oh, why'd you do that to me, God? It's like, well, you chose to do something dumb. So you're gonna have to deal with however that plays out.
Sometimes you get lucky and nothing happens, but a lot of times you're gonna have something bad happen.
If you choose to run out in the middle of the street and you get hit by a car, well,
yeah, what do you expect?
Yeah.
I did have something I wanted to say, but then now
I threw you off with that. Well, okay, I think one of the biggest things, because I know it can be the saying is the greatest distance is between the head and the heart.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it's so hard to have those things line up. And I guess, what are your guys' opinions on, because they won't always line up, and in a situation like God's goodness, where somebody may be at, you may even objectively be able to see, like, I see how that doesn't line up, how it's like, oh, it'd be very difficult in this season, experience, circumstance to feel like goodness is around me or God's goodness is there. There's a part of like kind of not, I don't want to characterize it wrong for anybody, but almost like not trusting in the flesh almost and trying to press in and put more faith and trust into like the truth of who God is and who you know him to be, that I personally feel like it can get you over the initial hump of like seeing past the circumstance or whatever and kind of get over that, whether it's feeling or thoughts or even experience, to look towards the hope that, okay, that means that God is going, or having the expectancy and the hope that God is going to turn it around or make good out of it. Because to me, in my own experience, even when there's been that disconnect, sometimes, and maybe there's things I'm not seeing or I'm doing wrong per se, is if I wait for those things to be connected, like I could be waiting forever, right? Like, unless there is a change or a shift, if I continue to see things the same way, it's not going to connect. And so kind of what is the thing that sparks the connection, or I guess is the catalyst to you being able to have those things aligned? And sometimes it's having to ignore or deny the flesh, and not even just like a temptation, but even like, okay, I know this doesn't feel good right now. Do I sit in that, or do I do whatever I can to try to, God, I know you're good. Like, I trust you're going to, like, you know, just keep pressing into that and keep pressing into that, even though it's not changing your circumstance or whatever doesn't feel good still. I guess, do you feel like the alignment of the head and heart needs to take place first, or, you know, that gap needs to shrink, or is it part of it just like you gotta just almost like will yourself and putting your faith and trust into who God is or what you know him to be?
I think this is where that Job story can really tie into, because when we read that story, he's sitting in it for quite a bit of that story, right? He's sitting in it for 20 plus chapters of this difficult situation that he's been in. But one thing that we can look at too is that even though the book of Job is kind of in the middle of the Old Testament, a lot of the writers or the commentaries that I've looked at have said that that story is actually out of place in order wise, and it came a lot earlier in the story.
It's in like Genesis, right? Like timeline?
Yeah, timeline wise, it's way earlier, like in Genesis. So it's not, you know, it's Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, right? So you would think, oh, it's over, it's in the time of like Esther or King David or some of those areas, but really it's actually in the time of Genesis, right? And so the other parts that we can look at in terms of how Kyle was talking about contextually thinking about what was going on at the time is that at the time there was no concept of like, after you die, you're going to go to heaven or anything like that. So that's part of why they associated things of with if something bad and going on in your life, it's because you did something bad and God is punishing you, or something good, then it's associated with you doing something good, because there was no concept of like something potentially happened to you afterwards or like an afterlife. So everything was like done in the moment. But if we look at Job in his story, he's sitting in that space for a long time. And his friends are even telling him, why don't you just curse God and die? Mm-hmm. Those types of things. So they're not helping out the situation either. But I think one aspect that we kind of overlook sometimes is we're always looking at it through from Job's perspective, but there's also the spiritual component that's talked about in the story too, right? Is that God is doing something in the moment. The enemy is doing something in the moment. And so a lot of times we just focus on like what Job's response is, but we can take a look at from the other things, like what is God doing, right? And part of it is God is allowing this to happen to show how great a guy Job is, right? It's like God already knows that Job has that type of faith. He says, look at, you know, he tells the enemy, right? Look at my servant. He's so good. Even if you take away all this stuff, he's still going to honor me. He's still going to worship. He's not going to forsake me, even though you take away his stuff. And so I think sometimes we forget about that part too, is that sometimes the Lord might be, excuse me, allowing us to go through some of these things to show us, hey, you have more faith than you even think. To show you like, hey, look at how you responded to this situation. You have a lot more in you than you even gave yourself credit for. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we can take from Job's story, is that the Lord was showing Job and all of the people around him, like, look at what a man of faith this guy is. And other people, we see that they would easily fall away, but not Job, right? So sometimes when we're going through those situations, I think we can look at it from that perspective too, is maybe the Lord's allowing us to go through this so that we can see how much faith we actually have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a form of God's goodness. You know, like the definition I used on Sunday was like it's something that benefits or the state of being in a position to benefit others. Mm. So like that's something that would benefit you in the long run. In the short term, it seems like, why am I going through this? What's the purpose? But yeah, like if that's the case, or God wants to really reveal to you what you have inside that you don't even know of, or you don't think it's as deep or strong as it is, that's something that can propel you then forward. So that's actually something that could be considered goodness, even though it doesn't seem like it.
I think this would probably have to be another episode, another topic, but it's like, how do you receive that?
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, okay, God's trying to show me that I have more faith than like I thought, or right. Okay, look at how I respond to this and how much I've grown or how much it's different. And then it just feels like, okay, that's it, right? Like how does that propel you forward, or how do you take that and receive it so that not just so that everything changes, but so that you can, I guess, walk forward in the ways that God wants you to. Because a lot of times, even if you can recognize that, it's not an instant, like, everything's all better.
Right.
And so it has to be a continued perseverance and hope and faith.
Right.
Even when you can see the ways that you are, quote unquote, passing the test, or recognizing growth, or recognizing ways that you maybe are stepping into more of how God wants you to respond, or whatever it is. It's okay, that needs to be, I don't want to say good enough for you, but like that needs to be something that you can hold on to and stand on to allow you to continue to move forward. Otherwise,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like the, really, that's it, or like, not kind of almost like not wanting to receive that or not wanting to step into that because you still don't feel good or you feel like things haven't changed.
Well, I mean, for me, the aspect that Damon brought up about Job, I think a lot of times that doesn't come out until later.
Mm.
It's more in reflection. Mm. So I think it's kind of like what you were talking about earlier, Brett, where it is like the perseverance. It's the somewhat the will and pushing through. But I think it also comes, or it, I don't know if it only comes, it needs a foundation of truth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know facts and truth about God, because like you said, it's not going to match up with your circumstances or your feelings sometimes. But then do you let that dictate what truth is, or do you say, okay, I know this doesn't feel, it feels like you're not with me, but I know it says that you'll never leave me.
Mm.
You know, things like that, where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I'm going to choose, or I'm going to will myself to be like, I think in the moment, it's not that you're thriving.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm not going to let myself go any deeper. I'm going to let this, like these foundational truths, be a platform for me that I know once I get through this, then it'll help me. And then you can look back and be like, oh, now I see how this was good.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moment, yeah, I think it's super hard. That's like where the head and heart have that disconnect. I don't know what you're thinking of with head and heart. I don't know if that's thought thinkers and feelers, or thoughts and emotions, or if your heart is more more beyond that.
I think I was thinking all of it. But I am speaking from like current personal experience too.
Sure. Yeah.
The things around you, the desires that you might have in your heart, when they don't play out the way that you thought or you hope, to me it's like you now have a choice. Like, what are you going to hold on to?
Yeah.
Because what you wanted is not happening. So then kind of like, now what, right? Yeah. Ask myself the question, okay, what now? I can, you know, option A, I can, you know, be sad, pissed off, bitter,
right?
Lose hope in God, feel like, oh, okay, I can't trust you then. You don't provide, you don't do this, you don't want what I want. That was actually a lie that I had to, that I thought about myself. You know, like you could stand in those things, or right, there's a lot of those feelings, and for a lot of people, situations, I think there's a validity to those things, but it's like choosing to stand on something different. Mm. Right, and that's the part where a lot of times my thoughts don't always line up, my how I feel about the situation, the desires in my heart, it's not playing out the way that I would want. And so I have to choose to work through those things, obviously, because they're still going to be there. I can't just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, what I'm going to hold on to is, okay, God, you say you're good. You say you do this. So I'm going to trust in that. Like, because if it's of my own and my control, it obviously wouldn't play out that way. And so I need to hold on to you and something that's bigger, that knows more, that does have goodness, that has, you know, things planned out, that has the perfect timing, all of that, right? I have to just kind of, you know, in certain ways, surrender it and just be like, all right, that's what I'm trusting in, because obviously my plan or my desires is not maybe perfectly lined up, or it's not the timing of your will. And so, like, God, help me to have my will be more aligned with yours. And like, I'm going to just try to trust in your goodness and what you have.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hearing you talk, you basically could respond like a self-centered brat,
yeah.
Right? It's all about you and how it affects you.
Yeah.
Or you could respond with more maturity, mm-hmm. and doesn't make it like the situation is better or it goes away.
Mm-mm.
But it's really then it's more a perspective of, okay, what what else is going on? Even like, what can I learn from this? What can I, how can I grow from this? That kind of perspective versus woe is me, or it's all about my inconvenience and like, this sucks. Take it away, type of thing.
And I'll be the first to admit I'm sometimes in that in that place.
No, I'm saying it not to put it on you, because I think probably from my own experience too. But I think we all can. It's so easy to go to that way.
Yeah.
Like the self-centered part. Like, you know, me and Damon with our kids, right? It's so easy for them to be about, well, that's not fair. What about me? What, you know, why this? You know, just all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh man, it's like flashbacks to when I was a kid. It's just part of that the maturing process,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so I think in our spiritual lives as well, like we have to mature in a way that we can see God's goodness in different situations, or we can know that He's good even in different situations. But we can know it in our heads early on, but we have to live through it to be able to experience it, and then that comes up with a different level of maturity.
Definitely.
Yeah, even going back to the Job story too, I think sometimes when we think about Job, we kind of get this fluffy, like, oh, everything's all good story about him, right? And how his response was.
Oh yeah, he wrestled with stuff.
But he was wrestling with it the whole time. So this passage from Job 23 came to mind. So it says, "Then Job replied, 'Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him, if only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I'd find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say. Would he oppose me with great power? No, he would not press charges against me. There an upright man could present his case before him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he's at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold.'" So even then, it's not like he's just like, all this bad stuff is going on around me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everything's all good. Right? So he's had to wrestle and he had to sit. And, you know, towards the beginning of the book, it talks about him just sitting in the ashes.
Yeah, right.
For like a week,
sorrow,
he just sat
in
the ashes to grieve the losses that he had. And so it's not just this flowery story of his faith, but it's him actually going through the process of grieving and also wrestling with things and even just wrestling with the Lord about it, right? But then the way that he comes out of it is showing how his faith really didn't waver during those times, even when he was asking those questions.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is something that can be, we look at the end and how it ends, but if we don't focus on that part in the middle for him, like, yeah, that was a rough, super rough season. And that doesn't mean, yeah, for us that we have to just say, oh yeah, if I'm wrestling with it, if I'm struggling, I'm a bad person or I'm not very mature. It's like, no, those are normal feelings. That's normal part of the processing, but we can do it in a healthy way. Like even those, like, he's like, I know if God came and questioned me right now, I would stand up to his questioning. I just don't know where he is. So he's like, hey, he feels so distant, but I know I haven't done something that would put me in a bad light.
And I think that's one thing that this chapter shows too, is that he's not trying to run away from God in this situation, where I think sometimes when we go through difficult things, we try to run away and try to deal with it on our own. But he's trying to look for God and ask him and seek him and say, what's going on? Well, you know, I think that's a difference between what he goes through and his journey through it and a lot of our experiences with it. And I think that's something that maybe we need to just take a deeper look at, is like, what's my normal response when I go through difficult times? Am I running away from the Lord, or am I trying to seek him in this time?
Yeah, the two things, because I could talk about this for days and just bring gloom to people's lives, but it's part of it is like, I think we often like to attribute things to God, but do we like invite him into it? And so like how we're saying, it's not always, you know, fluff or rainbows and butterflies. It's like when we're feeling hopeless, when we're feeling upset or bitter, do we say, because God knows our heart, he knows what's going on. So do we say, like, God, I'm pissed off. I feel let down. I'm starting to feel hopeless, or this really saddens me. Like expressing that heart to God and allowing him into that space. Not that he's not there, but it's different when we bring those things to him, when we like open our palms and allow him to meet us in those places. I think that's one thing that I've had to build a habit of doing. Because it doesn't feel normal or natural to do that, right? It's normally like you want to ask the why, or how come this is not happening? But it's to invite him into those places. And then the second thing is like the way that I can not summarize it, but the feeling I get is if you're going through something, it's kind of like, this sucks, but I'm going to choose God. This pisses me off, but I want to choose to respond the way that God wants me to. I feel so hurt and upset, but I know that God is full of mercy and grace. Like it's the but part with what you're choosing. It doesn't disqualify what you're going through, what you're experiencing, how you're feeling, because God knows those things. It's normal to feel those things, but it's the second part of, but that's not going to stop me, or I'm not going to let the enemy use that to bring me down. I'm going to choose God in whatever way it looks.
Yeah, I liked how you were describing having to learn how to go to God with those kind of things. And to those, it almost seems, I don't know if it seems unfair or it seems, I don't know. I think sometimes our view of God is that either he can't handle it, or he doesn't want to hear it, or he already knows it, so why do I need to say it? So I think that that's an interesting thing. But I think the other part is learning to do it in community.
Mm.
I think when we talk about those kind of things together, I think it helps a lot.
Mm.
But I think we need both parts. I think we need to do it directly with God ourselves, but then to do it with others. Because I think if you just do it with others, you know, we all have our own faulty thinking or faulty, like maybe, lenses that we're seeing things through. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful that way. But not opening up to others. So if we're just doing it with God, that's good, but it's something about doing it in relationship where we either learn from each other or we actually spur each other on, you know, because it's like, oh, I'm going through something similar, or I've gone through that before and this is how I experienced it. So I think as a church, we're trying to get a little bit better at that. And I think it's taking shape where we're getting more vulnerability, ability to share with others, but then needing to take that further of spurring each other on to, I guess, greater maturity.
Yeah, as you were talking, it brought to mind an illustration that Pastor Barry used. I think it was earlier this year. It was the three-stranded cord cannot be broken, but the third strand is the Lord, right? So it's two people and the Lord together.
That's good.
And, you know, I think sometimes when we think of goodness, or like kind of Brett talked about it a little bit earlier, it's like, you know, when someone says, how are you doing, you say good, right? We think of goodness as kind of a band-aid to cover up the difficult things, or you know, my kid gets a paper cut and it's like, I need a band-aid. It's like, okay, you're not even bleeding, it's not gonna do that much, but it's kind of a cover-up. And I think sometimes we look at God's goodness as that, or just even saying the word good, it's just the cover-up for So things look like they're okay on the outside, even though on the inside there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what Kyle was talking about as a church, is we're trying to go to some of those deeper places. And so we need to, in God's goodness, he allows us to wrestle with those things and to share our vulnerabilities with him and with others, so that we don't need just the Band-Aid, but we're actually getting the healing that we need, or the things that we really need, and not just having something cover it up.
It's funny, as you were just talking, I wonder if good in our vernacular has just become like neutral. It's like, it's bad. Bad is down low, good is kind of like neutral, and great would be like, you know, it's like
good is the fine.
I know, yeah. It's like it's a neutral word instead, but like when we take that and put it with this word goodness in the Bible, it's like, oh, that totally distorts what it is. So then if we see God in that way, then yeah, messes it up.
Did you ever see the movie Glory Road?
Yeah, once. I don't remember the whole thing.
When you're talking about that, it made me think of that movie because in that movie, it's about different cultures coming together, right? So it was during when they were trying to desegregate schools and stuff, and so it was the first NCAA team that started all black players on their basketball team. So it's kind of integrating the black and the white players together. And so they were showing how their vernaculars were different and the use of language was different. So they were saying, you know, bad is good.
Oh.
So if they say, man, that's bad. And it's like, that actually means it's good. So, yeah, that's just something funny that came to mind when
you
were talking
Damon.
About
Thank
that.
Thank you, Damon.
I was like, that's bad.
I don't know. So two last thoughts I had I'm going to throw out, and you guys can jump on either one, was one thing I shared on Sunday was that God's goodness comes into us, but it's meant to then be reflected out. So we could talk a little bit about that if you want. Or the other part I didn't talk about, I think I might have mentioned it. I think it's interesting when we go through these studies on the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is that you're focusing on one, but they're all meant to be together, right? So it's like we're focusing only on goodness. Well, that doesn't feel good. That, how does that work? But it's like it's still in line with all of God's other characteristics.
Patience.
Love, patience, self-control. I mean, justice, mercy. You know, all these like the things that seem opposite, yet they all operate at the same time and they all balance each other somehow.
Mm.
And so it's like, even right now, as we're talking about goodness, it's like, yeah, we're kind of not cherry picking, but we're pulling it out of as an aspect of God's character, which we want to know and understand, but we can't isolate it either. It's still in balance with all these other characteristics. So I don't know if you guys have thoughts on either of those two ideas. I tried to give you a good lead in too, get you guys
you
some
did.
Space.
You did. I agree. And that's why I think, I kind of feel like I derailed the conversation in certain ways, but I think it's a part of it is what us trying to talk about one of the characteristics. Mm-hmm. And I think in a good way, you can't help but kind of start bleeding into the others just because naturally like talking about it, it's, I don't want to say it's not enough, but almost like the context to God's goodness also shows other aspects of him when you are learning or seeking or understanding his goodness. Because out of his goodness, you experience the other things too, right? And so I try my best to keep it focused, but...
No, I didn't see it that way. Okay. I feel like... It was more like, I think it's good to dive into these individually and then we go as deep as you can and like try to understand it. But then at the same time, don't forget to pull back and look that it's, hey, it's still part of these other ones. No, because I think sometimes if we stay too surface or too removed, we don't understand it deep enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good to go deep. But then if we're only focusing on one, because, oh, I just want God's patience. I just want God's goodness, or if you're only focusing on one, then I think you can put yourself in a difficult situation. So right now, this is more like a head discussion of like understanding. So even for our listeners to be like, okay, we're going deep in this one, but remember, it's still part of the greater characteristic of God.
I agree. Yeah, and you know, when we first started this series on fruit of the Spirit, that's really one of the things that we wanted to highlight is that there is one fruit of the Spirit, not nine fruits of the Spirit,
right.
But there's one, and goodness is one aspect of it. But we do need to kind of understand each of the characteristics, because I think if we were just to say fruit of the Spirit, people would be like, what does that mean? Mm. Right? Like if we were to just, if the fruit of the Spirit was only love, like Robert said, it's all love. If we just said love, then the things that would come to mind are just, I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my hamburger. I love, right? Just the things that we love. But some of these other aspects of who God is and his character wouldn't be highlighted if we just focused on that one. So I think it is important that when we talk about fruit of the Spirit, there's one, but it has these different characteristics. So we can see the fullness of what it is and not just limit it to just this one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's, it's good. It's true. It just can be difficult, right? Because it's, I can see myself gravitating toward, oh, I want this, or I want one aspect. And then I can see when I've gone not too focused on it, but just maybe to, like, I guess have blinders, so to speak, of just seeing just for this. But then you miss out on some of the other things that are there, which could be very either beneficial or uplifting. But if this one thing is kind of going even negative, it's like you're missing out on that part. So you're missing that in the midst of this seemingly, like this goodness one, like that doesn't seem good. But there's these other aspects like, oh, but I still have peace. I still have this. Okay, for me. So I thought of this earlier. The last, like, I don't know, 45 days been like, man, like one thing after another. First thing was like, okay, it was significant, something with the family. And it was like, or actually pretty significant. And there's another one right after. It's like, okay, to got to work some of those out and something else. And then it's like, then this last week we had rats in the house. And it's like, man. And then it's like another thing with my car today. And I'm like, but then I was sitting with the Lord earlier this week and I'm like, he actually pointed out to me, like, look how you're handling it versus how you would have handled it before.
He said, you got some good character, Kyle.
Seriously, man. I'm like, okay, all right. And it's funny. It's not roses. It's not like all these things have gone away and they're all like, oh, this is fun. I love going through it. But it's more of like, oh, man, this is hard. And even yesterday was tough. Like, I felt the weight of all these things piling up. And I had to kind of do it, but I think you were saying, Damon, earlier, I had to just sit with the Lord and be like, okay, I need your perspective. I need your presence. And I needed to just kind of, or actually you were saying it, Brett, to just kind of have that honest conversation with him. I'm like, I'm tired of this. This is like, it's wearing me out. And so last night, then it helped me. Like today, I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm in a better place. Nothing has changed. All the things are, well, actually, two nights in a row without catching any vermin, so that's I think we might be past that, but it is interesting to in light of all that like negative stuff to be like, okay, I still have an element of peace. I have relative patience in the midst of some of these circumstances, and so all this stuff I'm like, okay, like I'm in a better place than I was before. I am maturing, but I don't want to stay here. Like, this is not fun.
Kind of as you were talking about that situation, one of the things that came to mind was because they're all related or all the characteristics are related, mm-hmm. What if, you know, when you're asking for God, give me more, say, patience or give me more goodness, what if the way to get there is by actually emphasizing one of the other ones? Mm. Like, what if God is trying to show you and grow your peace, because they're all related, growing your peace is actually going to help you to grow in your patience. Because if you're more peaceful inside, then you're going to be more patient, right? And so it might not look like, oh God, you're not answering my prayer. I wanted more patience. It's like, but I am, because as you grow in your peace, you're becoming naturally more patient, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes we might be looking at, I want to grow in this one area, but the Lord might say the best way for you to grow in this area is actually to highlight this other thing over here. And so maybe those are the times where we need to take a step back and see what else is going on too.
Yeah, I like that.
Me too.
And I did highlight that a little bit in my message of, I think certain ones come easier to us. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I think we can overdevelop certain ones. And then that means the other ones are underdeveloped. And so then, yeah, maybe that's part of that. It's well, you, God knows in his goodness that you need to work and develop these other aspect of understanding who he is, and that might need to come from a different direction. So that's good.
The last thing I have to say is an encouragement, or kind of like something to leave people with. So just let me know
right.
what you guys want
yes.
me to do it.
I thought you were going to say the last thing I had to say is go Dodgers.
I mean, that too. We're recording on a very important day.
I hope you're not feeling like that you went too negative and too deep earlier. Now you have to feel like, oh, I need to bring some more positivity.
No, this where I'm leaving you is actually like where I feel like I'm at. I don't know if you guys have more things to say, but after this, I think I'm done. I'm tapped out.
I had one, I just have one thing.
Keep going then.
From a devotional. No, it's the same type of thing. Okay, I'll share mine because I think yours sounds like I'm more of a closer. So
I don't know. I might get emotional during mine, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, in this devotion book we're going through in our emotionally healthy relationships, it's a day-by-day thing. This morning's, it was talking about, in light of the Holocaust, like survivors and how they got through it.
Oh,
it was like their perspective of having hope. And so just at the end he was kind of talking and we know that out of the greatest evil ever done on earth, the crucifixion of Jesus, has come the greatest good in history. So kind of like you had that earlier, Damon.
Maybe it's because I read that chapter this morning.
Wow, yeah.
Hey, Mimo, I actually did my homework, okay?
And then the closing part of the devotion says, so God invites us to trust him, placing our hope in his goodness. So I'm like, oh, goodness. All right, we're going to talk about that this morning. Resting assured that he is so great and sovereign, he will ultimately transform all evil into good. And so that last part of like being assured that God is so great and so sovereign, he will ultimately, it doesn't say when, you know, it's like, it could be in heaven, right? It could be when Jesus comes back, but ultimately all evil gets transformed into good. And I'm like, okay, that's a hope I can rest in. And that's part of God's goodness. I'm like, okay, if all else fails, I don't like that being like an escapism type thing. Like, well, all this is just going to go away in heaven. But it's like, no, there's things we have to work through, but still keeping that framework of I may or may not see it come to pass. I'm going to work on it still. But ultimately, I know that no matter what, it's all going to be made good.
That's good. There's layers to that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a whole nother. I won't get into it. I'll just get into the thing that I was going to leave everybody with. So I have 5 shout outs.
All right.
I think only a couple of them people will actually hear. The other ones, nobody will hear it. But 5 shout outs. Shout out to my dad. Shout out to Rihanna Machida.
All right.
Shout out to my wife.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Torn Wells.
All right.
And shout out to Elevation Worship.
I thought you were going to say Elvis. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I should have said that. Elevation Worship. All right.
All right. Yeah. So what's the connection between all these people?
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, my wife and I had listened to this song, and I mentioned it before on here, Joy in the Morning. But then on a particular day, both my dad and Rihanna texted Brittany a lyric to the song.
On the same day?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And they don't talk to each other like that. Yeah. So it wasn't like they were both trying to encourage.
Tag team. Yeah.
Are you sure your dad didn't text her, hey, send this to Brittany later today?
I'm pretty sure.
She'll receive it better from you.
But yeah, they both texted her and us. And it was good. And we've listened to the song. But just recently, my wife said, I want you to listen and read the lyrics to like the verses. And I feel like it's fitting with the conversation that we had today. So I'm just going to read it. It starts with says, everything happens for a reason, but you don't know what you don't know. And you'll never have peace if you don't let go of tomorrow. Because it ain't even faith till your plan falls apart, but you still choose to follow. If it doesn't make sense right now, it will when it's over. And then they go into the chorus, there will be joy in the morning. And then the second verse says, giving into your feelings is like drowning in the shallows. Oh, you've got to keep believing, even in the middle of the unknown. because grace will be there when you come to the end of your rope and you let go. It may feel like you're going down now, but the story isn't over. And then the chorus says, there will be joy in the morning. And then the part that I feel like really hits the rest of it home is, if it's not good, then he's not done. No, he's not done with it yet. Mm-hmm. And so kind of like what you read, even if it's at the very end, God has goodness. So if it's not good, he's not done yet. He's going to keep going, and he has victory promise. So I don't know if that speaks to anybody else that's listening, but that's kind of the place that I know my wife and I, that we're at, and I'm at personally, in just like letting those words sink in and understanding, like, yes, that is some of the posture of my heart, but still choosing to follow and knowing that, okay, if it's not good, then he's not done. So I'm going to continue to have trust.
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a fitting place for us to close out this episode. You know, I think, like we said earlier, I think sometimes God's goodness can be a difficult one for us to tie together in our experience versus what we think we believe in our head.
Mm.
And so I think the processing that you guys both shared about during this episode, I think that's really going to help people to make some of those connections, because the Lord wants us to seek him during those times, kind of like Job did, where he's looking for the Lord. Where are you at? Versus running away like Adam and Eve did, right? And so, you know, as we experience more of his goodness, I think we'll also grow in some of those other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit too. So thanks, guys, for the toughen it out.
I'm like, I don't know how much more I have to say. And then this is a good conversation. I thought we did a good expansion on the word.
All right. So thanks again for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.